So nothing was existing except Narayana. He was existing. And even after the, when nothing else is existing, Lord Narayana, he still exists. Antanarayana Smriti. It's recommended in the Vedas. Yeah, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayana attains the perfection of life, Anti Narayana Smriti. So this is the purpose of human life, is to bring us to the point of remembering Krishna at the time of death, Krishna Narayana. So this is the goal of life, to remember Narayana, because from that point then you can go back to Godhead. Krishna said, if you remember me at the time of leaving body, you will come to me without doubt. So these are some of the purposes given in the Vedas, but then again we see other purposes are also mentioned in the Vedas, which can be a bit misleading. They have something called Rini and Kinkara. Rini means the debtor. So the Vedas have this, have a conception that you are born a debtor. You have six debts to pay back at birth. Your mother, who's just given you the support and food and everything for the last so many months in her belly. So you're indebted to the parents who gave birth, who allowed us to take birth. We're indebted to the demigods who give rain, light. We're indebted to the government, build roads and things like that. We're indebted to the sages, the family sage, the family lineage, that with certain gotras who disseminate knowledge. So like this, we are born debtors. We have a debt to pay. And the purpose of life, according to some of the somewhere in the Vedic literatures, it points out that you're born a debtor, that now the purpose of your life is to pay back this debt. This is considered human form of life. So you want to wind everything up, or you want to stay here in the material world as the enjoyer, then follow this system. So it's a good system if you want to stay in the material world. Not a good system if you don't want to stay. So not many people want to go back to Godhead. We didn't come to the material world to go back to Godhead. We left Godhead. We came here to imitate the enjoyers. So so then follow these systems, then you'll be happy, as happy as you can get by following, because it's the Vedic system. And the Vedic system is a purifying process. You're going to become purified even if you don't know what you're doing, but if you follow the rules of the Vedas, you'll become automatically purified from tamagun, rajagun, sattagun. And yeah, so there's a built-in process, the Vedic system, the Vanashram Dharma. It's a built-in self-realization process. Even you don't want self-realization. Krishna's created this. I've created these divisions in society. So you're just doing, looks like you're just doing your duty, you're doing your work, you're not really aspiring to self-realization. But that work is purifying from tamagun to rajagun to sattvagun. And then from sattvagun, then you have a better chance of understanding what is transcendental life beyond that. But most people don't want that. So they want dharma after karma, and these are the goals of life. Dharma artha karma, economic development, sense gratification, religion, and then liberation. But not many people want liberation. They don't want the mukti. They want the dharma artha, and karma is the goal actually. They want to be the enjoyers. So then if you want to be enjoyer, follow this way that's given in the different Vedic literatures, and you'll be maximum happiness you can get. You won't get more happiness by trying to invent another process of squeezing out enjoyment from this material world. No, Krishna's very kind. You want happiness here, you can have maximum. You can have this happiness. So Krishna creates the facilities because we can't create the facilities. Krishna has to create. He has to create our place of enjoyment, the activities, everything we're doing. Krishna has to create all that so we can enjoy. Because we can't create all these things ourselves. But that's his kindness. Okay, you want to imitate me and be the enjoyer of this cosmic manifestation. So Krishna makes facility here. Yeah, but you follow the rules, you'll get maximum happiness. So, but the problem is with this process, especially this kinkararinis. You're a debtor, you have a servant to pay. You have debts to pay off. So the idea is that you pay off the debts, just like you worship the demigods because they're giving heat, light and everything like that. You pay off the demigods by the worship, but by doing so you become a servant of the demigods. But you offer foodstuffs to the pitras in the Shraddha ceremonies. And in this way you become servant of the pitras. So all these, you're paying back your debt, but as a result of that, you become a servant. And then when you leave your body, you're thinking of the time of death, or what the accumulation of all your thoughts and activities, that will determine your next body. So you become a servant of the demigod, servant of the pitra, servant of the... So that means you have to come back and take birth again. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, as they say. There's no way out. So it's good for the people who want to enjoy the material world. But for devotees, then the essence is coming out. Like here, Narayana, the Smriti. We should be remembering Narayana at the time of death. We should be remembering Krishna at the time of leaving the body. And by this process, you don't have to come back and take another birth, Krishna says. So this is the real perfection of life. How to go back home, back to Godhead. And attain love for Krishna. Prem pumata pumam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is the fifth principle. We have dharma, artha, karma, moksha. But even beyond moksha is prema. Prem pumata pumam. This is actually, Mahaprabhu, this is actually the final goal. To awaken our love for Krishna. So that is done by the bhakti portions of the Vedic literatures, which are drawn out by the great sages, so we may put them into practice. Therefore, we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranavandana, Padasevanam, Dasvai, Pujana, Shakijana, Manivedanam. We have different processes of bhakti we can while we're in this material world, we've got to do something. So here Krishna has given us 9 positive engagements in devotional service. And like this, we become Krishna conscious and we go back home, back to Godhead. So, there's a nice meditation. It's from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's a meditation on Krishna and his energies. It's also, we use it for puja, for meditation on Krishna in Vrindavan. It's in the printed in the Pancharatrika Pradipa deity worship book. And there it's given a description of Krishna along with these different potencies and energies, which is what we're talking about the last few weeks. And he gives a description of Vrindavan Dham, the trees, the flowers, the birds and bees. And like all those in Shantaras. And then there's different descriptions of the demigods. There's Krishna, or it describes, is describing the beauty of Krishna, how he is depicted by the different great sages. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the great sages, they have this revelation of Krishna and his pastimes. It's their revelation. And that revelation they write down, and that becomes Shastra. It's the realizations of great sages. So then we get to read those quotations from the great sages, and they give us inspiration and direction on how we also can become Krishna conscious, engage in Krishna's service and Krishna's activities. So Krishna's there with these beautiful descriptions that have been given, so we don't have to speculate on what God looks like or what he's not. We have all that information is there, what he looks like, where he's, what are his activities, his parents, his friends, etc. That information we have by the mercy of the previous great sages. And they describe his lotus eyes, his complexion, the Ushtaba mani and Srivatsa and all the ornaments on Krishna's body and Krishna's body itself and his beauty. Eyes, his beautiful smiling face, his flute. And so Krishna is sitting there under a kalpa bhiksha tree, very, very relaxed, with his flute in his fingers, and he's just blowing on the fifth note, and he's attracting everyone by this form. So those in Shantaras become attracted to him, the trees, and they give off their fruits and flowers, and the cows. The cows come to toward Krishna's in the center, and all these different devotees are around in different in different relationships. But Krishna is the center, then you get those in Das, then you get those First in Shanta Ras, and then you get those in Dasaras. Then you get the different energies are there. Then the cowherd boys, Vatsala Rasa, then the gopis. And the demigods there up the front, they go forward because they're the big movers of the universe. Krishna acts through the demigods to create the universes. So they're really important. They think they're really important. And they're up the front, near to Krishna. So these are nothing but displays of Krishna's energy. So thereafter, Arta. Arta means economic development. So that's the demigod's business. That's why they worship the Vishwarupa, because it's the universe, and their business is the universe that they create, destroy, etc. So the demigods are in the front lines. Wanting to execute arata, economic development. And there is dharma, the potency, the energy of dharma is there. And you get the great sages and rishis to give knowledge in different sampradayas are coming down. And they disseminate knowledge. And you have your family gotra in India, of course. You have your family gotra, the family sage. And they follow that line of teaching, Kapila, etc., different great sages who are have these different sampradayas and got family gotras. The knowledge coming from certain sages that's handed down in the families, they have their gotra. So they're big universal sages, universally respected sages. And they think we're doing really good because we give knowledge, and they are doing good. We give knowledge throughout the universe, transcendental knowledge also. We give all types of knowledge we can get, so we really are thinking of the welfare of people in general. So it's a really important position for us. So somehow or another they got that position through pious activities. And they're in charge of dharma. And those who want sense gratification, they're on the next line. And this is your Gandhavas, your Kinnaras, your Charanas, these Vidyadharas, Apsaras. These want enjoyment. These bodies, you get lots of enjoyment. So those who really want lots of enjoyment, they can go to become a Gandhava or something like that. So they're all intent on enjoying, so they're dancing and playing musical instruments. And so there's different grades of Krishna, it's surrounded by different grades of energies. And there's the big bulls there in Shantarasa, and they hear Krishna's flute playing, and they lift up their noses and they flare their nostrils, drinking the from the Krishna's flute playing that enters into their ears and nostrils, I guess. And the big bulls, they lazily walk around, sniffing. And there's those in Shakyarasa, the Krishna's boyfriends, and they're all playing, dancing, singing, whatever little kids do, they're doing all that. The whole festive is going on. So they're in another circle. And then the next circle is the Vatsalya Rasa, the elderly gopis, and the younger gopis also. And they have a relationship in the Madhurya Rasa. So that is represented by the young gopi girls Krishna's enjoying with these girls. And they're approaching Krishna. Everybody's approaching Krishna because he's playing his fifth note, and it's just that. So they're all being drawn to Krishna. And the gopis are trying to go, but they're trying to restrain themselves also. So they're looking down very bashfully, looking at Krishna, but looking, looks like they're looking down, but they're looking at, with half-closed eyes. And because of their relationship with Krishna, their different parts of their bodies are trembling, their waist is trembling, the bells tremble, the ankle bells also are trembling. They're trying very hard to suppress these symptoms in the presence of all the other living entities there. But like this, they go move forward very, very slowly, shivering and seeing the beauty of Krishna is awakening their conjugal desires. So what it is a picture of God surrounded by his different types of energies. That's the meditation. So that's the meditation. Of course, different types of worshippers of Krishna. So we worship Radha and Krishna, so Radha will be there with Krishna. For the devotees of Vrindavan, Radha Krishna. Yes. He says, of all the beautiful things in the Rig Veda, of all beautiful things, Krishna, along with his potency, right, in the form of Srimad Radha, is the most beautiful. But Krishna alone is not so particularly beautiful. But when Radha is there, his supreme energy, Aladini potency, is there. Then he is the most beautiful. So this is the Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give that when he's Krishna Prema Pradayati, that very unusual gift of Raja Prema, that Krishna comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and personally distributes. So this is the Krishna we are, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the Krishna we are worshipping. Krishna who is surrounded by his inhabitants of Vrindavan and just enjoying from one. Krishna is the enjoyer, the relisher, so he goes from one situation to another. From the gopi's conjugal mood, he moves into the Vatsala Rasa. Vatsala moves into the parental rasa. Parental rasa moves into the dasya rasa, the Krishna's servants and things. So every day Krishna's moving, his cycle of his movement, he's experiencing different areas, different rasas. So like noontime, he's out with the cowboys, so he's completely in shakya rasa, friendship, absorbed in what kids do when they have that relationship with Krishna. And then somehow or another, later on, then Krishna moves off to Radha Kunda, and there Radharani is there, and they go. Then they have conjugal pastime. So the rasa changes. Then it's after that, it's getting a little bit late, the sun is going to set, it's coming down, so again, Krishna goes back with the boys and it becomes Shakya Rasa again. And he goes to their home after herding the cows. And then his parents look after him, they feed him, bathe him. And Vatsala Rasa, this is a parental relationship. Servants helping, doing all. So this is Krishna, he is just moving from one rasa to another. This is all that Krishna's does, tasting those emotions with all these different individual devotees. So this, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the most perfect form of Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know Tribhangi Molita. That's all I know, that person who is bent in three ways and he's playing the flute Molida. This is all I know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be revealed. For those who want to follow in that path, you can find your way there in some relationship by associating with devotees of the same, in the same service attitude. Yeah, so this is what Prabhupada is teaching us. Develop your relationship with Krishna, a relationship with Krishna, then you'll, when you leave your body, you'll get that form suited to that relationship. Prem pumata pumam, then that's the final goal of life. When we're engaged in our constitutional nature as the eternal servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nithai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. Any comment or question?
Questions from online. Dear Jananivas Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that food rich in protein is considered non-vegetarian, like the Masura dal and Urs dal are also considered non-vegetarian. My question is regarding the word non-vegetarian, because the Masura dal and Urs dal are not animals. Why we define them as non-vegetarian? Are we breaking any regulative principles by consuming them? Your humble servant, Marichi Das.
I think the understanding is that they're so rich in protein, they're like meat. So if you eat too much, you're going to become a bit aggressive and you won't be able to, it's not conducive for being peaceful in developing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they wouldn't give a restriction.
As far as my knowledge goes and memory, I think Prabhupada said something like this. There is a high, very rich with protein, and it's very likely that anybody takes this, especially brahmachari, and the tyagi, get agitated with the rajogun affected, shall I say, put rather further. And so we are supposed to be in the mode of goodness all the time, Prabhupada said. So it affected, that more or less what he's saying, same thing I'm saying. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. My understanding of the restriction of eating them is probably immature, because I only know of that purport where Srila Prabhupada says in the fourth month of Chaturmasya, that's when we're not supposed to eat those things. I'm not aware of Srila Prabhupada, although Maharaj is probably showing a higher truth, but I'm not aware of Srila Prabhupada saying don't eat or dal or what's the other one? Masura dal in the other 11 months of the year. Am I just being naive or misinformed?
Can I add something? Same way, I think one I was looking for, there is some controversy or debate on this, whether you should take swabbing thing, which seems to be very many likes, either stealthily without the knowledge of others, some are taking. But I find out with inquiring with many authorities that I think Harvard, that professor, Hridayananda Maharaj, he once asked Prabhupada regarding swabbing. Swabbing is so rich, much more than all this. Maybe much more than meat, maybe 50% or something. When he asked, some of them still now saying, we can take swabbing. But I heard now, finding so many sources, once when Hridayananda Maharaj asked, and Prabhupada said, no, don't take swabbing. It's too rich with protein and all these things. Much more than that. Still, I don't know. Some may not know they're taking that. It's not meat. That's why I added this.
His Holiness the Bhagaswami was saying that he was wondering about whether it was okay to eat soy beans or not. And so he asked many authorities, and finally he described one professor, Hridayananda Maharaj, asked Srila Prabhupada once about soy beans because they're so concentrated in protein. Was it okay to eat or not? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's best not to eat soybeans, too much protein. But do you mind commenting on my question that I presented you, Janani Vas?
What was your question?
Are we restricted only the 1 month in Chaturmas, the 4th month from those 2 dals, or should we ascribe for a higher platform that Maharaj is saying? Is there that they are Rajasic and one wanting to become Sattvic would avoid them all the time? Mataji online said, no, it was Marichi Prabhu who said that urd and masala dals are very rich in protein. They're almost like meat. Dal. Masura dal and urd dal. And he was saying they're considered non-vegetarian because they're so rich in protein. So Maharaj is saying, if you want to become Sattvic, you should avoid. And I was asking, well, I've seen this restriction, don't eat in the 4th month of Chaturmas, but Maharaj is the first one to enlighten me on all year round, one should avoid. So.
That is what I'm saying. Sometimes they say it is debatable because some I find, some say they like very much wood dal, made of wood dal, many things like say bara, kachuri. Prabhupada likes kachuri, and wood dal usually put in kachuri. And another one is very much dahi bara. Everybody likes. It is very tempting in India, dahi bara. He's almost irresistible to something. So I don't know. But I must say both the truth, what I know, and tell, then you can conclude. You can conclude. But I know the God you want, I don't think they take. But wood dull sometimes still. Maybe special case. Exception. Huh? This is exception. South Indian all kept, every day they say wood dal, this they made of barat, dosa, every day giving dosa, and idli mixed with this. So it's up to you. Nagi, what do you say? Definitely, it's, most of you say that it had a smell like fish, and some of those are fish lovers. And they'll be tempted. It's acceptable. Those are fish lovers, like fish. The smell is like fish. Some noodles and things, some of I heard, they, it is not supposed to be ice powder or suji, semolina. But some, knowing this, they like some people, I heard. Of course, some country like third world, they, you know, the scale of the fish, they dried up. And the powder mixed with rice, when they make these noodles, very thin one, and do that, so that they like it, attractive. Some secret. This is the down to earth, the reality. Kuchbihar, and suddenly one of our GBC came, local Jayapata Maharaj, and he came to know these boys are eating Nutramol, which is made of soybean. Maharaj, soybean, make like a chunk, like a you know, meat, mince meat. So the Maharaj saw, he said, Swabhaj, you allow this thing? I said, I don't allow. They, without my knowledge, they are eating. I don't know. I was with them then, Sankirtan party. He also, same opinion. Huh? They are eating this boy, they love it. He just must be. That is what I heard. Because must be reason is, it's like a chunk of meat, means meat. And some people do, I think, even Goryomot eating. This swabin. Somebody told me, yes. With other, everybody doesn't eat in ISKCON. Because it's debatable. Something yes, and something no. But ISKCON does a nice thing. In space of this Calcutta temple, they make, maybe a little out of context, they make sandwiches and wimpy, you know? King Burger. So what they give inside, you know. Because in the West, you all know what is King Burger. They make veggie burger with jackfruit. Prabhupada says jackfruit is called gach patal. That means like a goat meat, jackfruit, you know, green jackfruit. So instead of that, ISKCON made this thing in Calcutta and put it, and all French, American, all consulate, those who work people, come to our Calcutta, there's a Middleton Street thing, and they like it. And he said that, karma free. King Burger, hamburger, and they eat it, same taste, so they love it very much. He said, what is karma free? Because he said, no karma, you thinking you are taking some meat, but it is that substitute for meat, it's not meat. But he said, it tastes like meat. They put lot of spice.
Hare Krishna. Marichi Prabhu asked another question about Chaturmasya, and he's asking about shark. He says, dear Jananivas Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. During the first month of Chaturmasya, we are requested to abstain from eating shark, spinach, and green leafy vegetables. Can you please clarify if we should abstain from eating only spinach? What about the other great varieties of green leafy vegetables? Please, if you can enlighten us on this subject. Thanks. Your humble servant, Marichi Das.
What's he saying about shark? My understanding was similar to the. There is another very rich food, which you. practicing austerities. Okay. Well, my understanding was that it's a very rich food, but very rich. May not be very peaceful for brahmacharis. If they're eating very rich food, it may more passion will be there. Cabbage is the vegetable.
Cabbage, lettuce, these kind of vegetables. Can we eat these in the first month of Chaturmasya? It says sak. It says sak. Usually it says sak. So people say it's only spinach. Yeah. Cannot eat. So what about, some people say, no, it's all green leaves. You cannot eat cabbage, cannot eat lettuce.
But lettuce, you make lettuce salad. Prabhupada said it's food for animals, and it's salad.
Some people say because it's a rainy season and the insects crawl on the green leaves, and when you pick the green leaves, so it kills all the insects. So they said shouldn't eat the green leaves at this time during the rainy season.
Yeah.
So is this all the green leaves?
I don't know. I asked one, Damodar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, Pujari. He said a similar thing. There's lots of bugs. They come out that time of the year. And they affect, like, don't eat brinjal and things like that. They get sometimes affected by different bugs. Poka. So therefore, better to avoid killing all the bugs or eating all the bugs. It's something for everyone. People, they're used to eating meat, and suddenly you're going to stop them eating meat. So it could be like a substitute. You can't be too strict, 100%. So what is the substitute for eating meat? What's the substitute for eating shark? Otherwise the vata will be too severe for lots of people. There's Chaturmasya vata.
In Chaturmasya, once long back, I don't know, maybe Prabhupada after disappearance, once here somebody went to consult, not Damodar Maharaj, but Sridhar Swami. Yes, Sridhar Maharaj, we have got in ISKCON so much sak, abundant, so we'll throw it away. He said, this is dham sag, this rules and regulation, not so strict. You can take it, Mahaprabhu's kripa, nothing will happen to you. Use it. I was there, Sridhar Swami, the Chaturmasya time, maybe. Long back.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
And Prabhupada was not there. Then we had got abundant sag in the dham. In the field. Then he went, maybe Nitai Chad, as far as I remember. Maybe he took me, because I know Sridhar Maharaj. Then Sridhar Maharaj said, "Are dam sak, why you throw away? Mahaprabhu's mercy, take." He said, "But this is the time you should not take sak." I forget it. Doesn't matter.
I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said that you eat foodstuffs that are grown in the Dham, it awakens your service attitude towards the Dham.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur liked it. That if somebody Dham product, take him when he is in Agra, Bombay, some devotee, just like Prabhupada, like potol here. I take, and he likes it very much. He said, Dham product, if you take, you will have attachment to the Dham, attachment to Mahaprabhu. Forget all these rules and regulations. Doesn't apply. It's exception. Yeah. Just like Prabhupada also said, Vrindavan Dham, don't care, even outside you eat something, doesn't matter. Here I don't know whether he says Prabhupada. Vrindavan I heard. Who was it? These are all Dhambasi. Cooking doesn't matter, you can take. The devotee used to go to Loi Bazar, take, drink, rabri.
If I may, Prabhu, Marichi seems to have a theme in the two questions he's asked, and it relates to tapasya, voluntarily declining sense pleasures, etc. And that's emphasized in Chaturmasya. It's emphasized in the human form of life. That's a basic principle. But I think I'm correct in sharing that Srila Prabhupada wants everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and to the degree that you can add to the program of chanting, dancing, feasting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, to the degree you can comfortably embrace austerity to inspire your hearing, chanting, dancing, and studying, then that's good. But nobody should be using these rules and regulations as a club to hit over the head of somebody who can't or is not following. So whatever you're comfortable, then set the example. Become Das Raghunath Goswami if you can. Otherwise, simple devotee trying the best to please Guru and Krishna through these instructions of what to do in Chaturmas, what to do the rest of the year, chant, etc.
Everyone, Papa say. Gaudiya Math, they have got so much distinction on this Chaturmasya. So many things they don't eat. Even coming here, in invitation I remember, and they find we are eating this, and they are shocked they won't eat. Yes.
Potal, bacon.
Yeah, so many things. Jabu, so many things. Because tomato also in Jagannath Puri, so many things, there anything foreign, they don't take. Then we know what the things we should not eat. Even potato, which Prabhupada likes very much, he's a king of all vegetables. Prabhupada said potato. Jagannath Puri, they don't give potato because it's foreign. But the Indian type of eggplant, Indian type of tomato, I think they use. Some of the things they use. But Indian type of that side of like a tree roots is considered one type of potato. That they give. But not this potato, round. When I point these things, some of the higher authority get very upset. I say, Prabhupada said, these things don't change. If you change, what will happen? This is change. Why are you saying? Prabhupada asked me to tell. What can I do? Guru's order, I have to tell. You are changing. And this will be the consequences. This is change. So, what can we have to tolerate? I don't want to mention. You may know many things change. So many things change. If you want to go, you will be nipped in the butt. No grains after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That I remember. I thought it is personal. Prabhupada wanted to don't take at night grain. I know the sadhus in India, many, they take only milk if at all. Prabhupada says, if you can remain fast, yeah, it's work, but summer do. Winter time, take something. That is
what do you do on the Sunday love feast? What do you do on Sunday love feast? And this Iskon Halva. Iskon Halva.
The you early days taught so many things, then you have been a change. Here so many Here Prabhupada is in the Baranda, the first building was there. One day I'm standing about, what are you doing here? I just remain silent. Look, something going on there. Some husband, wife sitting near the end of the long building, sitting and reading book. So, Subhak, go and call them. He say, don't do it here. At home you read together. They looked at a strange Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, there are many brahmacharis, I don't want to see you. He may have desire. That one day I will get married, all with my wife, I will read book, this. So many, now where this you will tell me. Now they are coming in, don't mind anybody, householder. Coming in bike, coming in cycle with husband, wife. Prabhupada said, not allowed all this. This is what I do, I don't know whether he remembers. He is before me came here. This is what I saw personally, Prabhupada, in front of me doing. This. So Subhak called them, I said. There is Mayapur, of course, a western country. I was surprised when I very place saw the brahmachari and brahmachari living in the same temple. But I didn't tell Prabhupada this. I can't think of as an Indian. I saw, I associate with monks and I much from my childhood. So to me it's very. Then when I saw their purity, they are sitting down as brother, sister, like they eating all these things. I accepted it. For me. Yeah, at that time they're very pure. And sitting side by side, like brother, sister, and maintaining some rule. You know, he got same time, took initiation with me, sitting together.
Hare Krishna. Question from the Chinese devotees from Jamuna Priya Devidasi. Thank you for Prabhu's wonderful class. The ordinary people, when they are hearing some great merits from the great personalities, it's very easy for us to start to worship them. And then we are thinking they are really great. But when the non-devotees, when they are hearing Krishna's pastimes, they would be thinking everything is simply mythology. They hear and they don't have this emotion of worshipping Krishna. Just like in this verse, Lord Brahma, only when Krishna personally manifested to him some miracles, and then he realized his minute position and the great position of God. So what is the reason for that? Does that mean Krishna's omnipotency would also cover people's real understanding about him? Krishna's omnipotency covering people's understanding of him. Is it true?
Can you make it one sentence?
Krishna is so great. Actually, his greatness obstructed our understanding of him. We cannot understand him because it's too great. We think it's not real. It's like mythology.
Yeah, yeah. It was mentioned here that Brahma, he was put under the yoga maya of Krishna. He couldn't understand anything. So to be a bit merciful upon him, he put the yoga maya so he could start relate to something. He couldn't relate to anything. He was so Krishna used his potency yoga maya to let him see what was happening. Then he realized his position. Okay, thank you. Narayana Prabhu.
make equal Narayana and Shiva Brahma. But sometimes Prabhupada chastised the philosophy of Shankaracharya and all this Mayavada philosophy. But sometimes he used Shankaracharya name like to confirm something. Why is that?
Yeah, he's using Shankaracharya's name. Even Shankaracharya has admitted Prabhupada using his name. Yeah, he took the a part of it that was favorable. Look, even Shankaracharya is saying that Krishna existed before. That was, I don't know, what was the question? Was it an answer?
On one hand, he always chastised the philosophy of Shankaracharya, this Mayavada philosophy. And sometimes he used Shankaracharya as a confirmation for, like, that Krishna is the person and he is above everything. Why? It's interesting why he's doing.
Yeah. It was we're on the Nabadidam Prikram at Shankapur. Shankaracharya visited here on his way to, and when he was conquering India with his Mayavada philosophy, and he came to Nabadvip, or the outskirt, and Mahaprabhu appeared to him and said, you can leave this place. It's for my devotees, and you have no business here. On your behalf, Rita Shiva and Prodamaya, they are keeping everyone in the illusion. And Satyananda and Swami was praising Shankaracharya, Vaishnava Namajata Shambhu, he's the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Great. And Srinagar Maharaj was there, and he was boiling. he just burst out. No, he said, Shankaracharya is a big Mayavadi. He's a big Mayavadi. He's teaching his Mayavada philosophy. And he was so then there was like an argument going on backwards and forwards. And I said there's a quote from the Jaiva Dharma, and the students, they approached the Guru and they said, Guru Maharaj, what is the position of Shankaracharya? And the Guru, he said, Shankaracharya, Sripad Shankaracharya, we offer our Ashtanda Dandabha Pranam at his lotus feet. And the disciples say, but Guru Maharaj, why, he's a big Mayavadi. Why we will offer obeisances at his lotus feet? He said, no, because he was on a special mission. Krishna sent him here to defeat the Buddhists who were eating meat on the pretext of the Vedas. You see how Vedas say you can offer meat and you can eat meat. So why you are preaching, why you are trying to preach us non-violence? It's there in our scripture says we can eat meat. So, and so then Buddha Buddha came and he said that. you're saying the Vedas say to you, you can't eat meat. Then, okay. Then I say, forget Veda. You follow me. So anybody who doesn't follow Veda is considered nastic, atheist. So that's why we don't accept Buddha as such, because he was preaching atheism. And if he hadn't have come and preached his atheism and got rid of Buddhism, even though he left the Mahavadi philosophy, that if he hadn't come and given us and got rid of Buddhism, today we will be stuck with the Buddhists. And it's very difficult because Lord Buddha was in Shaktivesh, incarnation of the Lord. So it'd be very difficult for anyone to get rid of Shankaracharya. So we would have that problem even today. The Buddhists would be opposing us. So therefore Shankaracharya, he came with a similar philosophy. One is Buddhism means there's no God. They're honest. they say there's no God, that's it. But the Mayavadis say there is a God, but he has no hands, he has no legs, he has no head, he has no same thing practically. But if Shankaracharya hadn't come and driven the Buddhist philosophy, then we'll be stuck today with atheism. At least Shankaracharya, he adopted the Vedas, although he misinterpreted, said a few things in Veda Vyasa, made some mistakes here and there. But at least he brought people back to the Veda, along with the impersonal philosophy. That's why he said, where our basis is, and the Bhapranam. Yeah, otherwise we would have that problem today, trying to get rid of Buddhism that was established by a Shaktivesh avatar. So the Vaishnavas, they respect Lord Shiva like that. When Lord Shiva was called to drink the ocean of poison, he kept it in his throat because it was very, very poisonous if he allowed it to go down in him. So he kept it in his throat. That's why his throat went blue color. So then he had that poison kept in his throat. So you have to counteract that poison. So you counteract poison with nectar. So that time Lord Shiva, he went to Shvetadvipa, and he met there with Anantadev. And Anantadev, he spoke the Ananta Samhita to him. The Ananta Samhita is full of the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and descriptions of Mahaprabhu. And so he drank that nectar of Nabadweep Dal, and that counteracted the poison of from the ocean. But the churn from the ocean, the poison came out. So Shiva's a great relisher of Krishna bhakti. Wherever Ram is there, Shiva will be there. Wherever Krishna is, Shiva will be. He'll always be around glorifying the Lord. So we see that aspect of Krishna when he says it. We shouldn't think that we shouldn't consider the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma on the same level as Vishnu. So that side of the demigod side, generally it's done through Shiva, does it through the 11 Rudras, That we're not so much interested in performing rituals or tantric. Lord Shiva writes the tantras, and this is very, very materialistic. People who want to enjoy this material world and power the cities and things like that. So that side of Lord Shiva we don't deal with, but the Vaishnava side, then we don't. Sadashiva, his name is Sadashiva. So that aspect we accept. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. You broken fast? You better hurry up. We already have our relationship with Krishna. It's already fixed. And what was the other part? Yeah, you come to Krishna consciousness, and the first thing, first we understand that the Jivaya Surupaya Nitya Krishna Das, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. So then you join Krishna consciousness, you're performing all kinds of activities, your sentiment will gradually be going more certain direction. So that will determine the body you take to perform the sentiment that you have. So Jivaya Surupaya Nitya Krishna Das, this is fact, it's eternal, nitya, eternal servant. But what kind of servant, that you can change. Nitya Krishna Das, eternal servant, you cannot change. But what kind of service, that you can change. So Krishna, somehow or another we were envious of Krishna. And Krishna is so kind. He's made a world for us with so many activities here. You can perform and cultivate your devotional service. And whatever you want, you can. Krishna will give. Whatever sentiment you have and you want, Krishna will give you. So that. Yeah, that comes through devotional service, and yeah, according to the particular sentiment that you have and how strong it is, then you'll obviously be following that way. So servant, you never stop serving. Whether you know your Srup, or you don't know, or you're a neophyte devotee or an advanced devotee. Nobody forgets their eternal servant of Krishna. Ekliya Krishna Shabdya. Krishna is the only master and all others are his servants. So they sang again and again over this part of Bhagavatam that Krishna is that original person, and even Lord Balaram is a servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.